There should be a desire to know the Lord in a greater way. And yet along the way to growing in the Christian life, many times we have setbacks. Many times we suffer disappointments, and sometimes we even fail in various areas of our Christian life. Even Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And I believe that though we have tribulations and though we have trials, we should desire to overcome in those situations and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe very strongly that God's will for our lives is that we would grow in that way. I talked to a pastor recently, and he said to me, he said, "Brother Chapel, I feel as though I'm failing in the ministry." He said, "I feel as though I'm a failure in the work of the Lord." And I said, "Brother, you're not a failure. You're going through a time that God intends, and God will use you in a greater way as a result of this time." I talked with a parent recently, and this parent shared with me and said, "Pastor, I feel as though I have failed. I feel as though I've gone the wrong way in bringing these children up." And yet I want to say this to you. Many times as we feel we've failed, and many times as we have failed in this life, God is simply helping us and preparing us for a future circumstance of usefulness for Him. My father used to say many times, "Someone that will be a great leader is someone who has learned that failure is not final." Failure is not final. And I would submit to you that if you are a Christian, though perhaps you have failed this past week, though perhaps you have a failed relationship, though perhaps you have failed in your business endeavor, if you are a Christian, failure is not final. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, a man who could tell us about failure, a man who perhaps would be an expert on the subject of failure, would be the Apostle Peter. The Bible records his story for us very vividly. Peter never intended to fail. Peter never thought that he would fail Christ. Peter never thought that he was going to fall away and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible records that Peter failed the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me, if you would, Peter's pathway to failure. The Bible says in verse 31 of chapter 26, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Now, would you notice with me the pathway to Peter's failure? And the first step on that pathway, as we can see from Scripture, was the step of pride. Peter said, "I will not deny you. I will not fail in my testimony as a Christian." The Bible tells us that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The problem that Peter was experiencing in his life at this point was an unteachable spirit. You see, Jesus had pulled him aside, and Jesus said, "You're going to be offended because of me. You're going to find a situation come into your life where you're not going to want to identify with me." And Jesus was trying to tell him that a trial was coming his way. But Peter said, "Not me." Peter said, "I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to experience that. These other guys might. Lord knows they have a weaker faith than I have. But I'm not going to deny you, Lord. Though all others deny you, I will not deny you." I was talking with a man this week, and as I was sharing with him some Bible verses, He began to explain to me that he had had all that church stuff when he was younger, and he'd been through all of that Sunday school and all the rest of it when he was a child. And basically, he said, I learned all that I need to know, and I don't need any more of it. I'm a grown adult now. And so many people have that in their mind. I'm a member of such and such church, and I was confirmed, and I went to Sunday school, and I have 12 Sunday school pins to prove it. Now I've got my house, my job, and I'm all set. And one of the most dangerous things that could ever come into your heart in life is a pride or an unteachable spirit or an attitude that says, I know all I need to know. I'm not going to fail God. I've got everything under control. Peter was a man who thought he had everything under control, and yet just a few hours after his statement of pride, he was denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the words, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, those are words that should ring in all of our hearts and minds. How many evangelists and pastors and how many strong Christians and how many people that perhaps you thought would never quit on God today are not even in the house of God. And lest we think we're standing, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. And so the pride problem was a great problem. But there's another reason that Peter fell. And that reason was that he had the wrong companions. Notice, if you would, in the Bible in verse 56, the Bible says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now you'll recall the story. Judas came in the garden that night, and Judas kissed Jesus on the cheek, and he betrayed Jesus. Then you'll recall how that the mob took him to a mock trial. And as they took him to that mock trial before the Sanhedrin, the Bible records that the disciples fled the scene. They were afraid. They were disillusioned. They were not sure of exactly what was going on. And so the Bible says they fled the scene. As we read on down in the Bible and come to verse number 69, we find where Peter is located. And the Bible says that Peter sat without the palace. Now, Jesus was in the palace being questioned by these religious leaders. He was being questioned about his so-called authority in their minds. And as he was going through that trial, the Bible says that Peter, who had now fled, was outside of the palace. And if you'll read through the Gospels, the Bible says he was warming his hands at a fire with a group of unbelievers. He was there with people who had no faith at all in Jesus Christ. Peter had left the Lord Jesus, and Peter had left the other disciples or apostles and had gone his own way. And so now, not only did Peter have pride, which led him to this situation, but now he's in a place with unbelievers warming his hands at the fire. And he's with the wrong crowd as he's standing around that fire. He's not with the disciples on his knees in prayer. He's not with them rehearsing what Jesus had taught them. He was not somewhere praying and seeking God's will. He was not with Christ in the palace. He was outside of the palace, outside of the fellowship of Christ, and he was around the fire warming his hands with unbelievers. Let me just say something to you as a quick lesson. Some of you have failed in your marriage or will fail because you have the wrong companions today. You have left Christ alone and you have come to a place where you're with the wrong crowd, warming your hands at the wrong fire. Well, you say, well, I don't drink and do drugs. No, but your friends are leading you that way. You say, I don't have the wrong thought life and I don't desire to quit church and become immoral. No, but your friends many times will lead you that way. You'll see in just a moment, Peter begins to curse up a blue streak. Peter was not a cursing man necessarily, but when you get around the people that do, how easy it is to curse. And how important it is then that when you have the opportunity, you are with the right crowd and you are around the Word of God and you are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and His presence and His perfect will. One of the main reasons so many times that a man's marriage will fail is because he spends more time with the good old boys down at work than he does spending time with the Lord and with his family in church. And so they were warming their hands around the fire. I'm trying to help you today. I'm saying there was a pathway to failure. I'm saying that Peter did not just all of a sudden fail. There were reasons for his failure. And reason number one was pride. No one was going to tell him, not even Jesus, that he had a weakness in his life. And how many times do people attend church, and how many times do they hear a Bible study or whatever, and no one's going to tell them what they need to change in their life. And so they fail because of pride. How many times then does that pride lead them to a place where they're warming their hands with the wrong crowd? And they say, seemingly, and they'll tell the pastor many times, or their wife or their Christian friends, "Hey, I can handle this crowd. I can handle one or two beers without getting crazy. I can handle just a little bit of pot. I can handle just being here with these people. And I can hear these dirty jokes. It does not affect me." And they're gathered around the fire, warming their hands. And before they know it, someone says, "Hey, didn't I see you over there at such and such church?" No, not me. That wasn't me, you saw. Might have been somebody else. You say, "Pastor, I wouldn't do that." And there Peter was in the flesh standing next to God incarnate, but just a few hours later, he denied him. He said, "I don't know who that man is." And so the pathway to failure, Peter never had cursed as far as we can see from the time he was saved until this time. But the Bible says in verse number 74, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man." Here we see a man who had walked with Jesus Christ. I'm saying those who have been so faithful, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a backslidden condition. And so we must constantly abide with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the pathway to failure. But notice not only the pathway to failure, the pronouncement of failure. Notice that he pronounces it verbally. He says in verse number 70, "I know not what thou sayest." And he denied before them all. Notice in verse 72. And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." Notice in verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." Look, Peter is now failing miserably. Three times he failed. Three times he denied Christ. But let me share something with you and catch this today. Not only did he deny the Lord verbally, but now he is also denying the Lord, and now he is also failing in his spiritual life. And not only is he failing verbally, but now he is failing emotionally. You see, in the Bible it says in verse 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." He wept bitterly. Let me share something with you. You cannot deny Christ and feel good in your heart if you're a Christian. You cannot backslide from Christ. You cannot do the things that God does not want you to do and feel real good about it all over. You cannot emotionally be happy if you are truly saved and if God's Spirit is living in your life. You cannot deny the Lord, whether it be verbally or by your actions, and feel good about it. Indeed, when Peter realized what he had done, he wept bitterly. And so we see here that our society is evidence of that. I was thinking about it this past week. How many teenagers and all of their attempt to have individuality, and how many of them are getting involved in their satanic music and their satanic t-shirts and their skulls and their chains and their Dungeons and Dragons and all the rest of it. And they think it's a funny thing. And they think it's a game. And they go on and on with that. And while we see all of that on the rise in America, we also see teenage suicide on the rise today. You see, while they're saying that they don't need Christ, and while they deny Christ, and indeed study Satan, and study his music and his words, the fact of the matter is there's an emptiness in their heart, there's a tragedy that is coming across this country, and they are literally giving their lives away to Satan. Why? You cannot deny Christ and be happy about it. You tell me today, and this homosexual crowd tries to say that it's just an alternative lifestyle and that they're just as happy as any married couple. Dear friend, the fact of the matter is they are a sad group of people, sadly distorted in their moral values and sad in their hearts and in their countenances. You can see it even on their face. There is a sadness. You cannot deny God and God's morals and God's book and the Lord Jesus Christ and be happy in your heart. You can't do it. But especially a Christian who knows the Lord and has experienced the joy of the Lord, now all of a sudden to be in the wrong crowd at the wrong place and to deny the Lord in your life and in your actions, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And Peter came under conviction, and he felt so bad about what he had said. There ought not be one saved man who could take the name of Jesus Christ in vain this week and feel real good about it. I'll go a step further than that. You ought not to say the word God or Jesus in a slang way and feel good about it. Why? That's a sacred name, dear friend. Say, well, I did it last week. All right, then, dear friend, determine before God not to do it this week. Peter, he had been cursing and denying Christ and saying things he ought not to say, and emotionally he was down. You want me to tell you why so many people are down emotionally today? Because of the sin in their life. Just depressed, upset, discouraged, not happy with anybody. Tell you why, there's sin in their life. And Peter was down and weeping and upset. Why? Because he had sinned and because he had done wrong. And Peter did not have joy restored until he got things right with his God. And so we see the pathway to failure. We see the pronouncement of failure was not only verbal, but it was emotional. And notice, thirdly, I want you to see this today, the pardon after his failure. I want you to see in Mark 16 and verse number 7 today how that God sought after Peter. Peter had denied him. Peter had forsaken the Lord Jesus. And as far as we know, Peter was in a depressed and dejected state of mind. But in Mark chapter 16, something very interesting takes place, and you know the story. How that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and she was looking for the Lord, and she was trying to find out what had taken place. And when she found herself at that empty tomb, the Bible says there was a man in white apparel. There was an angel there guarding over the tomb. And there's a little verse in Mark 16, 7 that if you just read it, you might pass over something very significant. But notice where it says, "But go your way," this angel said to the ladies, "and tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you." Did you catch it? The angel said, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter." Listen, I'm glad today that I serve a God who seeks a failing Christian personally. I'm glad that God loved Peter enough that he did not name all the other disciples, but he named the one who had denied him most. He named the one who had failed him most. I don't care what you've done this in your life, dear friend. I don't care if your marriage has failed. I don't care what your past has been or how bad your failures have been. If you've had an abortion, if you found yourself involved in a terrible past, I want you to know something. God's looking for you today. God says, go get those disciples and get Peter too and tell him to meet me at Galilee. And God would like to meet with you and help you to restore this thing. And failure does not have to be final. Failure can be a great learning experience for your life today. God was seeking personally to find him. I'm glad that my God is in the sinner-seeking business. Amen? Well, I tell you, watch on the news those heat-seeking missiles. Man, my God's got a sinner-seeking Bible. Amen? He's seeking after you and seeking after me. I'm glad that one day when I realized that I was a sinner lost and on my way to hell, that someone shared with me from the Bible that Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on a cross so that I could accept him as my Savior and know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And the same Jesus that saved Peter in that way also sought after him as a wayward child. Look, we believe around here, once saved, always saved. And Jesus Christ did not say, well, Peter, you sinned, you're not saved anymore. No, sir. He was still a child of God. Jesus Christ went after Peter and was seeking for him. Later on in John chapter 21, Peter was all discouraged again. And as you read through that passage, the Bible says in about verse number 3 or 2, Peter said to the other disciples, I go a-fishing. Peter had a problem at times with getting discouraged. And though he had seen the Lord, now all of a sudden the Bible says, I go a-fishing. And he was discouraged. And the Bible says there in John 21 that he fished all night. And the Bible says that as he fished, of course, you know the story, they caught nothing. They caught nothing. And when the sun began to come up that next day, they looked out onto the shore. They didn't know who it is, but the Bible tells me who it was. Hey, it was Jesus again. You cannot get away from the Lord once you're saved. And though Peter was out fishing and having a pity party, and though Peter was all discouraged and depressed, the Bible records that Jesus, once again, was waiting for him. The failure, the one who had denied him, Jesus, for some reason, was still interested in him. I don't know about you, but that excites me. The fact that God would be interested in a denier and a failure like Peter ought to give every one of us some hope today. Peter had failed, but God was interested in him. I'm so glad today that my Bible teaches in the eternal security of the believer. Some denominations say, well, Peter was saved one minute, then he was lost and on his way to hell the next minute, then he got saved again the next minute. No, Peter was saved from the very first time he put his faith in Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that commitment until that day, that which I've committed unto him until that day." Paul said, look, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep me until the day of his return. And my friend, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, he can keep you until the second coming. He can keep you until that thing called the rapture, and you don't have to worry about whether or not you're saved. Peter was not saved based upon his works. Peter was saved because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And so perhaps you're here today. And you fail. You fail the Lord. Perhaps you failed in church attendance. Perhaps you're playing games with the things of God. Perhaps you failed in your relationships. Perhaps your business. Whatever it may be. Let me tell you something today. God is waiting for you. God is not done with you if you have failed in the past. Notice not only the pathway to failure, not only the pronouncement of failure, not only his pardon after failure, but notice with me, if you would, this morning, that Peter had pursuits beyond his failure. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 14 that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and that Peter began to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to record his entire message. The Bible says that as Peter preached that message, in verse number 41 it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Catch that. The one who had denied Christ, the one who had cursed, the one who said, "I don't know him," the one who three times denied the Lord Jesus. Now in John chapter 21, Jesus says, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Three times Jesus had to ask him, and three times Peter had to answer, "Yes, Lord, I love you more than all of these." And after that restoration in John chapter 21, we turn in our Bibles to the very first days of the church, and we see a man standing up there in Jerusalem, and the Bible says, he says to them, "Ye men of Israel, listen to me," and he begins to preach with mighty power, and the Bible records that in one day, 3,000 people were saved and baptized. Not bad for an old failure. Not bad for a guy who'd blown it pretty bad. Not bad for someone who would have been a failure in your eyes, in mine eyes. You see, Peter had pursuits beyond his failure. And you ought to have some goals from this day forward that your life will count for something for God. That you can be consistent in the Christian life. That you can amount to something for God. One of my favorite stories in American history is the story of Abraham Lincoln. One of my favorite presidents. And Abraham Lincoln, a wonderful background behind his life. History records that in 1831, he failed at business. He went bankrupt. In 1832, he was defeated for legislature. In 1833, he failed in another business attempt. In 1834, he was elected to the legislature. In 1835, his sweetheart died and he had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he was defeated for speaker. In 1839, he was defeated for elector. In 1843, he was defeated for Congress. In 1846, he was elected for Congress. In 1848, he was defeated for Congress again. In 1855, he was defeated for Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for Vice President. In 1858, he was defeated for Senate, and in 1860, he was elected for president. Why? He learned that failure is not final. How many Christians feel like because they failed, they're never going to go to church again? Because they've had problems, they're never going to serve God again? Because they've blown it, because they've made mistakes, they're never going to serve God again? But let me tell you, dear friend, if you are saved, then your failure is not final. Perhaps you're here and you've been on the pathway of failure. You've had a little bit of pride, not going to let anybody tell you how it is, not listen to the Bible. Perhaps you've been warming your hands with the wrong crowd. I mean a worldly crowd, a crowd that could care less about God, a crowd that would take you away from church. And you're on a pathway of failure. Perhaps you've been going that way. Would you listen to me? Jesus Christ would like to pardon you and save you and set your feet in a new direction. Jesus Christ, who loved Peter, would love every Christian who has failed. You've been involved in a worldly lifestyle, the party life, the good life, you may call it, whatever it may be. But in your heart, like Peter, there's weeping and sorrow, and you know it's not right, and you know that you failed God. Wait a minute. Does God have a big stick, and does He want to kill you? No. The Lord Jesus is on the shores today, waiting and waving and saying, come back, come back. Though you failed, it doesn't have to be final. Though there's been trials and problems and failures, you don't have to quit on me. I'm here waiting for you. If you'll come, you're still my child if you were saved. I'm here to tell you that you can live the abundant Christian life in the 1990s if you'll realize that failure is not final. God is still interested in helping you and helping you to be whatever it is He desires for you to be.